the director of the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, or CSIS, is backing away from comments he made to the CBC earlier this week. The chief of CSIS, Richard Fadden, alleged that some foreign governments are controlling some Canadian cabinet ministers and bureaucrats. Now, he didn't name names in his allegations, but with the G20 about to get underway here in Toronto and many of those foreign government representatives on their way to this city, a lot of people are pointing a finger at China as one of the countries involved. Joining me now on the phone with his thoughts on this story is Charles Burton. He's a former Canadian diplomat in China, now teaches political science at Brock University. He joins us now. Good morning.
Morning, Matt.
Pretty serious statement to imply that Canadian government officials are being controlled by foreign governments. And we know that the head of CSIS, Richard Fadden, is sort of backing away from these comments. But when you heard them initially, were you surprised to hear these suggestions?
Well, I was certainly surprised to hear Mr. Fadden make very serious allegations against cabinet ministers in BC and municipal officials without substantiation and, you know, without naming who they're talking about. I think that there are a lot of officials in BC who might feel that they're now under suspicion simply because they have contact with China, and clearly this sort of thing is a matter for the police if officials have been taking bribes from China to try and influence the way that they vote or what initiatives they put forward. You know, that's a very serious charge, and so I think this story will have to continue because there'll be a lot of people who will want to have their names cleared, and there'll be the public will want to see officials who, in fact, appear to be in the pay of China properly made accountable for disloyalty to their province and to their country. So, you know, from that point of view, that was surprising. The idea that the Chinese government provides benefits to Canadian politicians and civil servants to induce them to favor China in decision-making and assist China in achieving its goals in Canada was not a surprise to me. I think quite a lot of that sort of thing goes on.
What exactly does that sort of thing look like?
Well, you know, typically it starts small, and as Mr. Fadden pointed out, some of these politicians may have got into this inadvertently. But I think that aside from the sort of obvious one of free trips to China and lots of nice meals and five-star hotels, it can get into the point where the Chinese will then assist the politician's family or associates in business deals, and then there can be assurances that if the politician continues to be friendly towards China and receives telephone calls from Chinese security agents suggesting this or that with regard to votes or initiatives, that maybe after retirement they will have opportunities to do business in China and you know, make a lot of money. And we do see politicians after retirement going to China and apparently making quite a lot of money.
How do you draw that line, though, between what is legitimate government business going over and creating business ties or larger economic relations with a country and being on the take and being on a junket?
Well, I think that certainly every government who has diplomats abroad seeks to influence political decision makers to favor their point of view. I think where you start drawing the line is when there's a transfer of benefit to the politician personally. And so if there's, say, in Canada under a previous government, if there was an unspoken or spoken assumption that Canada would not be vocal on human rights, but that the government's associated businesses would benefit from favoritism in Chinese government contracting, that, you know, there's something would be wrong about that. I think where it comes down to is when a politician ends up becoming wealthy as a result of contacts with China. I think it's one thing to try and influence people by bringing them around to our point of view through argumentation. It's another thing when it's supplemented by economic benefit.
This is of great interest in this city in particular because the Chinese President Hu Jintao is on his way here for the G20, and he will be here with not just other leaders, but also Prime Minister Stephen Harper. Briefly, do you think that there is the possibility that Stephen Harper will address these allegations with Hu Jintao when the two men meet?
Well, they'll be meeting today in Ottawa as well, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if Mr. Hu didn't say to Mr. Harper, why can't you keep your security agency in better control?
What about the question, though, of are you trying to influence our own politicians?
Oh, I think that certainly comes up in the ongoing discussion. You know, a few years ago, Mr. Harper and Mr. McKay, I think 2006, if I remember correctly, made some fairly strong statements of complaining about Chinese espionage, primarily industrial espionage. And I think that the ongoing concern that China is exceeding the boundaries of acceptable diplomatic interaction in Canada is always going to be on the agenda.
Hmm. Very interesting story, and one that will continue to develop as I mentioned, these leaders make their way to our city. Charles Burton, good to speak with you. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.